Ba'yidei Torah Manishra Gimel Nachum Av Tov Shnayin Hei Rabbi Manuel Danan.
Yeah, just very much. Thank you. Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Today's topic is I found it an intriguing parasha. And it started actually by a Rebbe asking me a question on Rashi, on the parasha of Mei Meriva. The title of this shiur is Moshe Rabbeinu a non-believer? ? What does that mean? That's what the Torah seems to describe Moshe Rabbeinu. Yan lo he'emantem bi. You did not believe in me. La'agdisheni la'enei bnei Yisrael. And because of that lack of belief, the lack of trust, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished so. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were punished so severely that they were not allowed to fulfill their dream of going into Eretz Yisrael. I just once heard an amazing thing about the authenticity of Yiddishkeit, the authenticity of our religion as respect to other religion. Which religion would dare say about its founder that he's a non-believer? I mean, you don't even find them criticizing their leaders, let alone calling the founder, the one who was Makabal Torah Rishma, you're saying, Yan lo emantim bi. Now you can give me all the terutzim that it means it's a specific thing, but why the risk? If you were making it up, why would you risk calling your leader a non-believer?
You didn't make the Hebrew, you didn't believe.
When Rav Shlomo Zalman was when he had his fahef for Shiva's Kol Torah, which I was zoiche to learn in the yeshiva, Rav Kunstadt and Rav Schlesinger, they invited him, and he gave a shiur, and somebody in the middle of Sheikh Lali, is Rav Shlomo Zalman going to become the Rosh Yeshiva? And somebody asked him a kasha, and Rav Shlomo Zalman thought, he sat down, he said, a good kasha, and he didn't have anything to say. So I'm thinking of doing the same thing here. I'm thinking of doing the same thing here, but... right, so, Lai he'emantem bi. Hemanti ki adaber ani anisi meoi. Hemanti means I believed. Hemanti. Okay, all right. Okay, so we have to look at. I always understood Yan lo hemanti. You did not believe in me, like the Shani. Okay. I hear what you're suggesting, Mr. Halpern. But let's take on. But it's certainly a severe einish which he received for. Something which is difficult to understand. So I'd like to basically go through the parasha. Now there's many explanations. What exactly? And this is the most fascinating thing. Most ironic. None of the mafarshim can come to an agreement. What exactly was it that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron did wrong? What was it? And there's actually so many mafarshim in the Rishonim. Without going into the Achronim, in the Rishonim there's 10 different mafarshim. Brought by the Aruch Chaim Kodesh. I would like to go according to Rashi. Yeah, we're going to now learn a few psukim of Rashi, and I'd just like to share with you a few insights, at least according to the way Rashi analyzes the parasha, and some things, some lessons hopefully which you can take for us, which I find to myself very pertinent. And if I speak, it's like Hemanti Kiadabe. We just spoke about Hemanti Kiadabe. If I speak about Emunah, then Hermanti. Hermanti kiadabe. If I speak about him, and that's the Rambam in the end of his Akdoma to Pirush HaMishnayos, he says, there's nothing that gives me as much delight as in speaking about Divrei Emunah and Chizuk. So perhaps if we can analyze what was going on, perhaps we can take a lesson for ourselves and implement it, especially so being the 9 days, the days when we're trying to work on Avas Chinam, And to improve our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with others. Let's go through the... Let me just proceed. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lekach es hamateh. So Bnei Yisrael are gathering around, they're pressuring Moshe Rabbeinu to... They are dying of thirst, and now you not just got men, you've got women, you've got children, you've got screaming, and... Thirst in the Midbar, and the Matzav is desperate. Finally, they're about to. All their parents have died, right? The Dora Meraglim. All their parents have died. They're in a desperate situation. Now they've got no water. Kaches Amate, he is Vahakel Esaid Atav Aaron Achicha. You and Aaron v'dibartem el haSela, and you shall speak to the Sela le'einehem in front of them. That means they've got to watch you speaking to the Sela. V'nosan Meimav, and it will give forth its water v'itzes alayim mayim in haSela, and you shall thus bring water out from the rock. V'ishkisa Esaid of Esbiram, you shall give to drink to the congregation and their animals. V'yikach Moshe Samate milifnei Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu took the matem milifnei Hashem. What does milifnei Hashem mean? So some Mefarshim say that it was Aaron's stick that was placed at the end of Parashas Chuk, the end of Parashas Koirach, to show that he was the chosen. Say so it was milifnei Hashem. It was there in the Mishkan. He was commanded to take it. Kasher tzivo. Vayakilu Moshe v'Aaron esakol el pnei haSela. They gathered all the people, and the Chazal say this was one of the mekoyimas echad mekoyim she'amuat machzik asa merube. A tiny. I mean, how can you fit 3 million people and let them all see the rock, even if it wasn't. What's that rock in Australia called? That red one.
As rock.
Right. Even if it was as big as that, it's very hard for everybody to have a sight of the rock. But that's what the pasuk says, and the Chazal said it was a miracle. Listen, you rebellious ones. Are we going to be able to take out water from this rock? And he lifted up his hand and he smit the cellar twice. And many waters came out, much water came out, Atesh Ta'ed of Ira, right? And then he was punished, right? Yan Laim Antibilag Disheni. So, let's go straight into the question. Right, Vayakil on Posuk Zain, Moshe Rabbeinu is now about to commence his speech to class. So, just a brief introduction. Do you think it's possible to take out water from this rock? So, Lachaira, the Pashtei Dekara, that means a simple understanding of what's going on here, is Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to. It's trying to show them how great a miracle he's about to perform. That means, is it possible that a dry rock should bring out water? You for sure think it's not possible. I am going to show you that anything with the Ratzon Hashem is possible. That's the simple understanding of the possible. Is it? Yeah. So he's trying to raise the tmiya, the pele, the wonder in people's eyes. The problem is Rashi has four problems with that. First of all, what are you talking about? He's already done that in Refidim. He already done that when they came out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. He hit the rock and the water came out. Not only that, that water continued until very, very recently to give fourth water, and it was the same rock. The Mefarshim said it was the same rock that gave water till now, which just dried up because of when Miriam died. So what's he trying to say? I'm going to show you an amazing thing that this rock is going to bring forth water. They've experienced that. That's question number one. Question number two is why here is Moshe Rabbeinu, if Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to show, impress on Klal Yisrael, and he doesn't want to just perform the miracle, he wants to gear them up to the miracle, right? He wants to psych them up. Why does he do that here more so than any other miracle? Perform tens and tens and hundreds of miracles. He doesn't prepare them. Is it possible that this should happen? He just does the miracle. Right, that's question two. Question three is, what's the emphasis of the word Aminasela Hazeh? What's the emphasis? This rock. If he's just trying, it's not possible to take out water from a rock. Why is he emphasizing this rock? So, and fourthly, the fourth question is, why does he call them rebellious ones? Shimuna Moirim. Okay, fine. There's a lack of bitochen, right? The lack of bitochen, because a person who has true bitochen, even if he's in sorrow, even if he's thirsty, yeah? then he knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding his hand, and you don't come with a strong complaint. But rebellious ones, to call them rebellious because they said, "Give us water," that is deserving to be called Moirim. So therefore comes Rashi and says, "No, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is the following. Yeah, what happened is that rock, the rock of which they were commanded to smite, went." It went on a walkie, and it started walking. I don't know if it had legs or just started rolling, but it got lost. It went amongst the other rocks, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were walking in the direction to go and find that rock. Klal Yisrael start laughing and start sniggering. What's going on here? Where are they going? I mean, are they going to help us or they're not going to help us? And here they are, Moshe Rabbeinu. Look. So they start saying, just who cares which rock? Just bring out water from the rock, right? And they didn't say it doesn't matter which rock. That's what Bnei Yisrael starting making fun. Moshe Rabbeinu exclaims, Amina Sela Hazeh, yeah, Noiti Lachem Mayim. This is ridiculous what you're saying. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do a certain action and to take a specific rock, you can't say any rock. Yeah? Just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a nais, it doesn't mean I can control the way that nais is to take place. I have to go according to the rules of the book, even when a nais is taking place. Therefore, I cannot take out water from any old rock. So that's Hamina Sela Hazeh. How have we answered all four questions, Rabbi Isai? So that Hamina Sela Hazeh is not trying to show them the wonder of the miracle. He's answering what they've just told him. They said, "Who cares which rock?" He says, "No, I cannot take out water from rock which Hashem did not command." Second question. Why here does Moshe Rabbeinu try to psych up the people? He's not trying to do that. He's just trying to answer the accusation of that you can take it out from any rock. Why does he say Ateva Sazer? Very good, because you say this rock we weren't commanded, and you're telling us to take out water from this rock. So I cannot take out a rock from the rock which Hashem did not command. And fourth, why does he call them Moirim? So here comes along Rashi. Rashi says, "Hamoirim sarvonim, sarvonim." Anybody want to translate sarvonim? Sarvonim means the ones you know. Eino mekablim morals. Yeah, it means you don't accept authority. You think you know better, right? It's a kind of a precursor. It's a sarcasm and a cynical. That's what sarvonim means. Here you come with your claim that it doesn't matter which rock. That's sarvonim. I was told a specific action to do, and you're saying, "No, we know better. You can do it from any rock." That's loshon sarvonim. And the second loshon, Rashi says, is in Greek, hamoirim means shoitim. Straight into shtus. Like we said, even if there's a miracle and an ace is about to be performed, you've got to do it God's way, not my way. And therefore, if Hashem said this particular rock, you can't just say, doesn't matter which rock. Right, that's shaitim. And the last one is miloshen hoira, yoiredea. Hoira means taught. You are trying to teach me how to do my job. Yeah, we know. It doesn't matter which rock. That's loshen moirim. You think you are my teachers? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me a specific rock. So Mimele, we've answered that fourth question as well. Hamoirim means, first of all, we understand why it's rebellious. Because that's rebellious, that's sarvonim, that's a lack of authority. Who cares which rock? That's more than just complaining we want water. And it means loshen shoitim, and it means loshen moirim, teachers. You're acting as teachers. The Mefroshim say, Rashi is saying, Hamoirim means all three explanations. That means sarvonim, ones who do not accept authority, shoitim, fools, and teachers. Right, so that's what goes on. So then the next pasuk, Vayare Moshe es yodo vayaches asela b'mateo pa'amayim, and he hits the rock twice. Which rock? So what's happening here? So there's an obvious question, we'll go straight to the question. What are you doing hitting the rock? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Davar el Asela." Why is he hitting the rock? Second, that's question one. Question number two is, why does he hit the rock twice? Yeah, and third question is, why does it say Vayetu Maim Rabim? It doesn't say that in Fidim. Vayetu Maim. Why does it say Maim Rabim? So answers Rashi. Yeah, it's called to kill two birds with one stone. Rashi kills three birds with one stone. All three questions with one simple explanation. What happened is they continued their walk, finding it, and they thought they located the right rock. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the rock. Rock, please give forth your water. And nothing happens. Yeah? Nothing happens. All is still. The water doesn't come out. You can imagine the pressure. Everybody's there. Yeah? And the pressure Moshe Rabbeinu is under. What's going on? First of all, God, Hashem is playing games with me. He makes the rock go start moving itself. So I have to walk and find it with everybody watching and making fun. Finally, I locate the right rock. I do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and it's not giving water. So he makes a cheshbon asvara. This last time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to hit the rock. This one, I also have to hit the rock. You right? In fact, now why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell me to hit the rock? Because he took it for granted that since last time, I don't need to instruct you again. You know how we take out water from a rock. It comes with hitting, especially so that kaches amate. He told him to take the stick. Obviously, what's he taking the stick for if not to hit it? So he made a cheshbon, two cheshbonos. First of all, in Refidim he was to hit the rock. And second of all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in this tivu itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take the mate. Now, if you tell me, okay, he told you to take the mate, but not hit. Okay, say that, I took the mate. I spoke to the rock, nothing happened. What do you want from me? So I'm going to hit it. So what happens? He goes and hits it. And it gives Maim, tipois maim. It gives a droplet of water. Why does it give droplets of water, Rabbi Isai? Does anybody remember this part? Because between Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the rock and hitting it, now the correct rock turned up. Right? That means he spoke to this rock, and nothing happened. And he lifted up his stick, about to hit that rock, and now I don't know whether he suddenly saw that actually, I was wrong, it wasn't that one, right? It wasn't the one I just spoke to, it was the one to the left, because it was the one with a purple mark on the left. And I didn't even notice that, this one looks almost identical apart from that purple mark. So, nizdamen loy, that means the right rock was nizdamen loy, so he hit that, and only tipois maim came. Why only tipois maim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to speak to the Sela, and he's now hitting it. So therefore, he doesn't know what to do. He hits it a second time, and it gushes forth all its waters. Rabbi, so how have we answered all the three questions? Rabbi, let me go over the question. So, why does he hit the rock when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to speak? So we've answered that. He spoke to the rock, it didn't help. So he came up with a cheshbon, you need to hit it. Second of all, why does he hit it twice? Because the first time, tipois maim. The first it was only droplets of water that came out. Third question was maim rabim. Yes, it's maim rabim to insinuate that till now there was a bit of water. It was just only now, by the second hit, was it maim rabim. Okay, so we've answered the three questions. Sorry? Oh, that's a pele. Right. So, why did water come out even though he was to speak? Now, Rabbi Isai, this was the question that was asked. What was going on? First of all, it doesn't matter. We got lost. I made it a lot of. I hope I brought clarity to this parasha because there was very ma'uman before I got to this stage. But so the question is: so Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the rock and thought he identified it correctly, but it was wrong. Now, when Rashi says Nizdamen loy oisoy hasela, that means the correct one turned up. What does he mean? There's two explanations. You tell me, Rabbi Isai, and I haven't. You tell me, Rabbi Isai, what does it mean? Does it mean that he was speaking to this rock, and then this rock moved and replaced by the correct rock, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even realize. So therefore, of course, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu continues hitting, because he thinks this new rock is the rock that he spoke to. Okay? That's one possibility. Okay? Yeah. Rabbi, are you following? He spoke to one rock, nothing happened, that rock moved aside, replaced by the real rock, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even realize. Yeah? Moshe Rabbeinu had not realized, and therefore, well, I spoke to this rock, nothing happened, therefore he's smitten. That's one possibility. The second possibility is, he had this rock, as I explained, I think that's the way I explain the parasha. He spoke to the rock, nothing happened. Then he realized, Nizdamin, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened his eyes and said, oh, by the way, the rock right next to it is really the right one. So then he moved over to the rock. So, can I have a... you understand the possible two explanations? Yeah? Rabbi Sai? So, any explanations? Any hands up for the first explanation? First explanation that he didn't even realize there was a replacement there, right? That's what I thought, and that's a Sefer HaZikaron on Pirush Rashi learns like that. He didn't even notice that it was replaced. What's the difficulty on this pshat? Why is he nenash? What do you want from him? What do you want from Moshe Rabbeinu? He spoke to the rock, nothing happened. He thinks this is exactly the same rock. He hits it. What else can he do? He didn't even realize it was replaced.
Go to another rock.
But remember, this is the rock. So I thought, but doichak, yeah? This is there's a sefer on Pirush Rashi called Sefer HaZikaron. He learns like this, yeah? But this I found very, very difficult to understand. And it could be that if Moshe Rabbeinu had enough serenity, then he would have noticed, hey, this rock did not give Hashem's will, and it didn't give water. When it got replaced, he should have paid the time, because he wanted to do so much Ratzon Hashem and not to deviate it. If that was strong enough, he should have paid attention. Actually, this is not exactly the same rock. Something's happened here, and it's not exactly the same rock as that I spoke to. Right? That means if his emuna was great enough, he would have paid attention to that. I find that very difficult to understand. But that's my personal... If you're happy with that pshat, then that would be... Then
it could be that because Moshe got angry, Shimon HaVoyim, so the Shinah moved away. It's Shinah's...
Yeah. But the problem is, Rashi says his chait was that he hit the rock and he didn't speak to the rock, because if he would have spoken to the rock, there would have been a big kiddush Hashem. The selah which doesn't get rewarded does rotzen Hashem. All the more so bnei Yisrael. It's a very difficult kavuchemia. You're trying to explain to me. I don't understand that kavuchemia at all. Selah doesn't have a. It's not a free choice. But whatever it is, Rashi says clearly that his chait was that he smit the rock and he didn't speak to the rock. Now, so that's one explanation. I prefer the second explanation, which seems to be the Olam here also prefers the second explanation, is that it got replayed. He realized that the first rock he spoke to was the wrong rock. But what's the problem on this, Mihalech Rabbi Yisai? So why is he not speaking again? It's a pele. Well, he realizes now that he spoke to the wrong rock. So you start... start the game again, you're right? But, yeah, it's like snakes and ladders. You're back to square one. It didn't work. You got the wrong rock. So, this is the difficulty with the two pros. This was the difficulty that I was asked, that somebody, I think it was an 8-year-old asked the Rebbe, and he asked me this question, and I was stumped for 2 weeks. I didn't have any answer to what exactly is going on. So I came out with the following explanation. It's up to you, can take it or leave it. Two possible pshatim. One pshat is that as we said, Hakadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, take the stick. Why did he tell him to take the stick? So Ibn Ezra brings a perush that he told him to take the stick and he told him to hit the rock as well. He was to hit the rock as well. Daber al asela, loshen ve'yad be'armim tachteinu. Yad be'armim tachteinu is a pasuk in Nach. I think it's in Tehillim. Yeah. Yeah, that he will smite, we will control, we will have power over the nations of the world. So Daber can also, we know Dvarim Koshim Kegidim, we know Dibur is Loshon Kosher. So he brings a Yesh Meforshim, he brings an explanation that Daber can also mean smite, can also mean show your power over the rock. The Ibn Ezra rejects that pshat, but according to that, we could at least say that's what Moshe Rabbeinu thought. What didn't come out? What's going on? I'm doing what Hashem's want. Hashem is playing games with me. I've got to do something drastic, right? Because everybody's I'm about to be the laughing stock of a whole of Klal Yisrael, and nothing's happening. So he already made a decision that he's going to smite. Now it's true. The correct rock now gets replaced by is replacing the wrong rock. But he had already fixed in his mind that he's got to hit it. And since he can fataych, he can say that daber la sela means smite the sela, he's already ingrained in his head, together with all the cheshbon that he made, kaches sela, and last time he hit. So even though he realized that he was to speak, that Shekhodesh Boko says daber la sela, perhaps daber can mean smite. Alternatively, he could have learned like the Ramban. The Ramban says, Daber el Asela does not mean speak to the rock. Daber el Asela means speak to Bnei Israel, tell them what you're about to do, el Asela, about the Sela. That's what he could have thought. Daber kaches amate, and strike it. The Daber el Asela means to speak, and that's how the Ramban learns like that. The chait was not that he smote the rock. Daber el Asela means speak about the rock to Bnei Israel. So that's what he thought. I hit the rock, and that doesn't. And he was nitpas, no, that you should have obeyed instructions exactly. So we can at least explain where Moshe Rabbeinu came from. Alternatively, and this is a Chizkuni's Mehalech, the Chizkuni learned, similar to Rashi, but not exactly. Chizkuni learned, kaches amate, and obviously strike the rock, and speak to the rock. So why did he not speak to the rock? Beholo. He was under tremendous pressure. He was under, how would you say, what's a good word for Beholo in English? A lack of confusion. It's more than confused. You know, it's when worked up, frantic. Yeah, I would say the best description is a lack of serenity. Right, the pressure's on. He knows he needs to hit the rock, so he just does that. And Yaakov's Baruch Hu says to the speaker, "Okay, but desperate times that require desperate measures." It could be with Moshe Rabbeinu as well, according to Rashi as well. That's what he explained. He was to speak to the rock, yeah, but it's not Me'akiv. Okay, now Yaakov's Baruch Hu, I spoke. Okay, I did the speaking. I spoke to the wrong rock. But what again? With everybody putting the pressure on, I should speak again to the correct rock. I just know that I have to hit the rock. He did that, and you see, he wasn't so off the mark as somebody mentioned here. Water came out. Water did come out. In the end of the day, he did not speak to the rock, yeah? And water came out, first of all, in Tipois Maim, and then eventually, Vayetu Maim Rabim. That's the possible two explanations that I have in Rashi, right? So we have really three mehalchim in Rashi. If we learn, just a second, we have three mehalchim in Rashi. Either, yeah, if you like, I'm just taking three possible pshatim. I won't tell you which one I prefer because I just leave it to your preference. Either he didn't realize that the rock was replaced by the correct rock, and that's why he didn't speak again. And the taina on him was that you should have had enough serenity to realize, actually, this is not exactly the same rock that I just spoke to. Yeah? And then looked at the rock again and said, actually, this is the right one, and the other one was wrong. That's one pshat. Second pshat is that he did realize what was happening, but he had already made a decision that you need to hit, and therefore, Daber el Asela. So either there's another way of explaining Daber el Asela, either like the Ramban or the Miyesh Meforshim of the Ibn Ezra, or the Enachanami Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to do that, but something desperate needs to be done. So I can forego on that part of Ratzon Hashem.
The Pasuk doesn't tell us that he talked to the rock.
None of the... I'm going on to Rashi. Yeah? Rashi says he did speak to the rock. Rashi says he spoke to the rock. Yeah, many things are chaser in the Pesukim, and there are many, many things which are missing in the Pesukim. But Rashi, yeah, from all those questions which Rashi asks, Rashi tells you what's going on. So, Rabbi Sai, There's another question which the Yoreim, which Rabbi Yom Mizrahi and others ask. Shimon Amoyin, Rashi says in other places, Rashi says that clearly in Sanhedrin, Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, and in his Perush in Tehillim, and Rashi in Baal Yischa, is mashma that the chait was Shimon Amoyin, that he called them rebellious ones. That's why he was punished. And Medrash says that clearly. There was nitpas on his loshen for calling the Jewish people rebellious ones. Everybody else in Rashi here says his chait was because you smit the rock and you did not speak to it. So I just thought, yeah, the Mefroshim say, so the Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi says the Midrashim, and Rashi brings here both explanations, and Rashi can do that, even though the Midrashim. And some Mefroshim says they're not Midrashim Chalukim. And I would just like to explain that before I bring my Nekuda across. They're not Midrashim Chalukim. Really his chait is that he became angry. He got stirred. He lost his cool, as we would say. Yeah? And that came out Shimuna Amoirim. That brought about the anger. But Rashi says, Rashi is coming to explain his chait. Yan lo'emantem bi, what's the next word, Rabbi Isai? Lagdisheini. That's not sufficient. To tell me because he got angry, therefore lagdisheini. So you could say, yeah, if Klal Yisrael would see how he maintains his serenity, despite what's going on, he is still serene. Yeah, with all this game which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing him, making him go the rocks move about, and Klal Yisrael pressuring and scoffing, that would have been a Kiddush Hashem. That's a bit. I think Rashi found that a bit forced. So therefore, Rashi says, "Lagdisheini, you would have been mekadesh me through the kal v'chomer, which Klal Yisrael would have made. If a rock listens to the Ratzon Hashem, all the more so we should listen." What do I want from this parasha? I found it amazing. I was just thinking to myself, Rabbi said, "Let's close our eyes. Imagine to yourselves, you and Moshe Rabbeinu." I would prance. I wouldn't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally playing games with Moshe Rabbeinu. First of all, he's making the rock move. He's making it get lost. The whole nation, everybody is scoffing at Moshe Ve'Aaron. Who cares which rock? He has to give them to Chacha, and you know what it's like. Yeah, you know what it's like to give to Chacha to a bunch of scoffers. Yeah. To cynics, it's very, very difficult. You're automatically on the left foot. So anyway, but he's determined, he's firm, he's resilient. So he goes, he continues looking for the right rock. He gets the right rock, right? It looks like the right rock, and he speaks to it. Nothing happens. What do you want? What do you want from him? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of Moshe Rabbeinu? And you can understand why he lost his cool. Yeah, you can understand what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, when I was really thinking about it, and I closed my eyes, and I really cried for Moshe Rabbeinu. I really cried for Moshe Rabbeinu, because what do you want from the man already? So you'll tell me he's not a human being, but you can understand what's going on. And to me, this is an amazing thing. Yan Laemantimbi, I'm going to go with my explanation, which I said, Yan Laemantimbi. I do hear what you say, Mr. But Eloi Hermantin can also mean you didn't believe in me. What's Emuna? Emuna is strength. Anshe Amoni is people who lend on credit. What does it mean they lend on credit? Because I trust you. There's an element of risk. Yeah? There's an element of risk when I lend you money. But I trust you that you will pay me back, even though there's winds blowing to and fro, that winds are, there are circumstances that could make it difficult for you to pay back. I trust you. That's why people who lend on credit are called anshe amoni. Emuna means steadfast. Rabbi say, if we look at the psukim, I think on the last page, yeah, uskativ yosei b'mokim ne'eman. Yeah, this is talking about the Mashiach, I think. Uskativ yosei b'mokim ne'eman. I will use him as a peg. A peg. Why do you have a peg to tie down the tent? Because it secures from the wind. If there's no wind, Yeah, it doesn't need to be secured. Ne'eman means it's steadfast. It does its job even though there's something pulling it, something wanting it to give way. That's what ne'emanus means. That's what, if I'm a ne'eman, means you can trust me. If there's no reason for me to do a wrongdoing to me, then there's no mocking for trust. Trust can only be built when I've got reason not to be trustworthy. V'hemin b'Hashem, it says by Avraham Avinu, v'yachshevei alo tzedakah. Avraham Avinu believed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered it that emunah to be a tzedakah. Ask the Ramban, what, that's a tzedakah? About Moshe Rabbeinu, that he was a believer? Yes, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not, even at this point, he was not guaranteed that everything will be hunky-dory, everything will be okay. Yeah, but nevertheless, he had, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him now, he had that strong emunah, that steadfast, that belief that whatever happens, it's going to be okay. That's the steadfastness. Despite everything which wants to turn him away, which brings questions to one mind, the questions are legitimate. It's okay to have questions. Nevertheless, he remains steadfast. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Despite everything that's going on, he should have had enough serenity to accept the situation as it was. And it doesn't make sense. Everybody's making fun of me. I'm doing what I would thought was Rotzon Hashem, and it's still not working. Even under such duress, he was expected to maintain his cool. And to me, yeah, we started off by saying, who would write about their own leader, Ya'an Lo Eman to be? And to me, this is a tremendous chizuk. Yeah? Look at that. Look what we are expecting of our leaders. Yeah? To have ne'emanus, to be steadfast no matter what. Just want to finish off. And how do we achieve that? How can we achieve this ne'emanus? We know when the going gets tough, and the going can get really tough. Yeah, I'm speaking about myself, but yeah. And the going can get really, really hard. So what are the methodologies to infuse myself with emunah? And to maintain, I act sanely. I act in accordance with my... And the answer to that is to have a live relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak to Him. To speak to Him, to bring Him into your life. To ask Him, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me, give me the power to do the right things. Right? Because I cannot do it without you. There's too many things swaying me back and forth. If we continue to have that live relationship, then Mimela Ben Adam Lechaveiro will also be improved. Yenem, if I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me exactly what I want, and I cannot know in my seichel, I've got to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love me, and I have a tachlis which nobody else can fulfill. I heard such an amazing thing. You know, by Chabad, they celebrate birthdays. Why do they celebrate birthdays? And this gave me such a tremendous chizuk. Because it's the day that Hashem decided that the world cannot manage without you. He needs you to fulfill His plan. That's the significance of a birthday. To me, that's a tremendous chizuk. And you can do that with everybody. You can do that with Rishoyim. He also has a tachlis for the Rishoyim. But means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. That's what it means. I'm a partner in creation. I have my special place. No matter what I fell, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love me. You have to say that. I have to say that. Otherwise, my mind plays me games. I have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love me, and I love you, and speak that way. Yeah? And the first person has been embarrassed, you should do it in private. But that way that we develop a live relationship, then... That way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into our lives. And I'll just finish off with a text that somebody sent me on Erev Shabbos. It says the following, and it's very pertinent to the 3 weeks. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. Thank you.